Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, Text 30. Yaschita vidaye yataha. Syanni sango parigraha. Eko vivikta sharano. Bhikshur bhikshya mita shanaha. Yaschita vidaye yataha. Syanni sango parigraha. Eko vivikta sharano. Bhikshur bhikshya mita shanaha. Bhikshur bhikshya mita shanaha.
Yaschita vidaye yataha.
Yaschita vidaye yataha.
Syanni sango parigraha.
Syanni sango parigraha.
Eko vivikta sharano.
Eko vivikta sharano.
Bhikshur bhikshya mita shanaha.
Bhikshur bhikshya mita shanaha. Yaschita vidaye chita. Syanni sango parigraha. Avivikta sharano. Bhikshur bhikshya mita shanaha. Ladies. Yatita vijaya yata. Shyamu vigraha. Eko vivikta sharano. Bhikshur bhikshya mita shanaha. Yasita vijaya yata. Syanni sango parigraha. Eko vivikta sharano. Bhikshur bhikshya mita shanaha. Vivikta sharano. Bhikshur bhikshya mita shanaha. Yaha. One who. Chitta vijaye. Conquering the mind. Yataha. Is engaged. Syat. Must be. Nisangaha, without contaminated association. Aparigraha, without being dependent on the family. Eka, alone. Vivikta sharana, taking shelter of a solitary place. Bhikshu, a renounced person. Bhikshya, by begging alms, just maintain the body. Mita ashanaha, frugal in eating. Translation of Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One who desires to conquer the mind must leave the company of his family and live in a solitary place, free from contaminated association. To maintain the body and soul together, he should beg as much as he needs for the bare necessities of life. Please repeat. One who desires to conquer the mind must leave the company of his family and live in a solitary place, free from contaminated association. To maintain the body and soul together, he should beg as much as he needs for the bare necessities of life. Purport. Here is the process for conquering the agitation of the mind. One is recommended to take leave of his family and live alone, maintaining body and soul together by begging alms and eating only as much as needed to keep himself alive. Without such a process, one cannot conquer lusty desires. Sannyas means accepting a life of begging, which makes one automatically very humble and meek and free from lusty desires. In this regard, the following verse appears in the Smriti literature. Dvandvahatasya garhastyam dhyana bhangadi karanam lakshidvagrihi spastam. Sanya said, avicharanyan. In this world of duality, family life is a cause that spoils one's spiritual life for meditation. Specifically understanding this fact, one should accept the order of sannyas without hesitation. So the text again. Yas chita vijaye yattaha syanni sango parigraha eko vivikta sharano bhikshur bhiksha mitashanaha. One who desires to conquer the mind must leave the company of his family and live in a solitary place, free from contaminated association. Maintain the body and soul together, should beg as much as he needs for the bare necessities of life. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vidanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paska Jihade Satarane. Of course, this verse has to be put into a certain perspective, or else we won't have any householders. It's not one time. One devotee was distributing books in Holland. It was a book translated into Dutch, coming from the fifth canto, The Forest of Material Enjoyment. And in the book, there was a picture of a man. And in the picture with the man, the husband, there was the wife. And she had fangs and claws. And the children also had fangs and claws. It was from, they were going to eat the poor householder. So the devotee distributed the book. This one lady bought the book. She took it home and looked at it, saw the picture, and then contacted the devotees and was quite disturbed that I thought these devotees, this was a very nice lady who gave me this book, but now I see this is your philosophy. The man has been devoured by his wife and children in the forest of enjoyment. So, what she didn't read, I guess she didn't read the book, is that there's a difference between grihamedi life and grihasta life. And human life is supposed to be that we learn grihasta life rather than grihamedi life. As Maharaj, no, actually it's Prahlad Maharaj, he says that Mitirna Krishne Parataksatova Mito Bipadyeta Grihavratanam Adantago Virvishitam Tamizram Punak Punas Charvita Charvananam. So Mitira means our consciousness. As it says here, we have to conquer our mind, which is the manifestation of our consciousness in the material world. Mind is like the, if the mind is cloudy, then our consciousness is cloudy. If the mind is clearer, then our consciousness is clear. So we have to purify our mind so our consciousness becomes clear and we can see things properly. So Mitirna Krishne, generally people don't think that if I fix my mind upon Krishna, then I'll become purified. And if it becomes purified, then I'll be able to see I'm a spiritual soul, and then I won't have any more anxiety. No, they're an anxiety, but their method of relieving the anxiety is mito bipadyeta. That is, Mitirna Krishne parataksatova. Mito means combination. Mitirna Krishne parata. Svata means one's own self and by one's own endeavor. Mita means a combination of both or by others. In other words, everyone's in anxiety and they think the method of solving their anxiety is somehow or another make arrangements either by oneself or by others making arrangements for oneself. Or a combination of both. I do a little and other people do something also. Because it's all griha. Griha. Griha means house. So the first house everyone lives in is the body, the material body. So the material concept of life is somehow or another, if I can arrange it so that my body is healthy and strong, then my major problem is solved. And after my body is healthy and strong, then I have a family, and I try to help the children and the wife and the dog and whatever else. I help them become healthy and strong also. Quite an endeavor. And then if I'm expert at that, then I try and make my neighborhood, get everyone to mow their lawn, have a nice green lawn with flowers in everyone's front yard. Then I'm considered to making more progress. Health insurance for everyone in America, whatever. Expand, try to make everyone's material existence as comfortable and safe and secure as possible. So this is called griha, ratanam. We are vowed to stay in the material world until we can reach perfection. We'll stay here forever trying to make progress. We're almost like the hamster on the wheel, running, hoping to get somewhere, but just not getting anywhere, just running on a wheel. Was Sisyphus pulling up the heavy rock, and just when the rock is going to get out of the hole that him and the rock are in, immediately the rock falls back, and he starts all over again, eternally. So that's material life. Trying to perfect material existence somehow or another, absolute sense gratification and complete protection. But since it's dukkhalayam ashasvatam, it's a temporary world full of misery, everyone is unsuccessful, no matter how sincerely we try. Therefore, griha vratanam, everyone is very sincerely trying to solve their problems, either individually or collectively. But what is their problem? What do they think is their problem? Grihavrat adanta govira. Their senses are pushing them, agitating them. Their consciousness is covered, and their senses are pushing them. Yanmaitu nadi, grihamedi, sukham, hitucham. Kanduryanena, koriyar, iva dukadukam, triptyanti neha, Bahuduka Bhaja Kanduti Vatmanisijam Vishaheta Dira. So this is Prahlad Maharaj. He says, Yanmai Tunadi. This combination, Yanmai Tunadi, Griha Medhi. Of the Griha Medhis, in other words, generally speaking, people get married and they're not getting married simply because they want to serve someone. They want to serve their senses. And marriage is an arrangement, whether legal or illegal, is an arrangement for sense gratification. Unless we're someone like Devaki and Vasudeva in their previous life as Sutapa and Prishni, or Kasyapa and Aditi. So they got together in order to serve the purpose of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But that's not Griha Medhi, that's Grihastha. Their aim was something spiritual. But generally people get together because they want to gratify their senses, and each partner is promising, I'll gratify your senses if you gratify mine. It's a business arrangement. And what is the sense gratification? It is kanduyanena koryor. Kanduyanena is an itching sensation. Koryor is two hands. Koryor eva dukkha dukkham. It's the alleviating the itching sensation, just like if there's an itch on the hand, we scratch the hand with another hand, and therefore we relieve the itching sensation. And on the basis of relieving this itching sensation, then yanmai tunadi griha medhi sukham hitucham kanduryanena koryor eva dukkha dukkham tripyanti neha. That trimti tripyanti, trip for satisfaction, tripyanti neha, kripana, one who's a miserly person, one who has little understanding of anything beyond a very limited conception of happiness, kripana, bahuduka bhaja, he's scratching the itch and simply causing all kinds of problems. Kandu diva, one who's actually able to tolerate this itching sensation, Kandutyava manasijam, which is just rising out of mental concoction. Then Vishaheta Dira, he's known as a very sober person. Pungsa Striya Maituni Bhavang Etang Toyora Madhya Granthya Mahu Ato Griya Shetri Sutapti Vitera Janasyo Moho Yam Ahangumeti. In other words, there's a great endeavor going on for something very insignificant. The Himalayas were about to give birth to a mountain. The mountains were rumbling. Everyone is coming to see what the Himalayas will give birth to. And finally a mouse pops out. Much ado about nothing. Big drama going on. There's romance, there's the movies, there's everything. It's all so important, but ultimately it's insignificant. Tuchava. But one cannot realize that because it is the only happiness in material existence. The only remedy is, the only alternative is if one actually understands something about spiritual life. If one can actually get the higher taste as described in the Shastras, that Vishava Nivartante Neharasidehina Rasavarjam Rasopyasya Param Drishva Nivartate. Even if one can just glance or glimpse at a higher taste, then one can understand there must be some other purpose of life other than just to gratify the senses. Sometimes they mention that the devotees, they seem very conflicted. Unlike the materialists, they're not conflicted at all. Just like the animals, there's no conflict for an animal. When a tiger sees a deer in the forest, it doesn't think, I read on the internet, it's healthier to be a vegetarian. This deer may be someone's mother. I know I learned some cruel habits from my mother, but I should try to control my mind. Try to become purified, give up these bad habits. I know I can't be a vegan, but at least I should try and be a vegetarian. The tiger is not conflicted like that. Immediately he sees a deer, without any hesitation, he goes to eat the deer. And when he's killing the deer, in spite of whatever cries the deer may make, he doesn't feel sorry. Let me bite your neck in the most painless way possible. No, there's no remorse, there is no conscience on the part of the tiger. He feels good when he's eating the deer, and he feels bad when he's not eating the deer, and that's it. Similarly, for materialists, they're aiming at sense gratification without any remorse. They want to have unlimited sex with man, female, child, animal, and not feel any conscience whatsoever. That's their aim. Eat anything, have sex with anything, sleep anywhere, kill anything, and feel completely free from any conscience, any remorse, simply looking for the next victim. Go from one victim to the next. That's the aim of human society. Of course, they make a few restrictions here and there. You know, at least we can eat everyone else, but don't eat me. I won't eat you, you don't eat me. And that's called law. Divine law. We can eat him, but we have to share him equally. We have to be honest. A group of thieves, they rob a bank. And after robbing the bank, as you've heard, the head thief stands up before the other thieves and says in their hideout, "My dear fellow thieves, now that we've stolen all this money, please, please, let us divide the money up honestly." They're all thieves. They've stolen money. But now they're going to make an arrangement to become honest thieves. Similarly, everyone is interested in simply finding victims for one's sense gratification. But we want to do it in a way that makes us feel good also, that we're good people, we're gratifying our senses in a good way. Of course, as the mode of ignorance becomes more prominent, what's considered to be good becomes more and more degraded, acceptable, we could say. But the devotees, they know that there are four regular principles they're supposed to follow. They know what they're supposed to be doing. And therefore, when they don't do it, they feel guilty. But that's good, because that means that conflict is not something to get rid of. It's something to take notice of so we can improve our devotional service. And that ultimately means that dasa, dasa, anudasa, that everyone is actually Krishna's servant. We may think ourselves to be this body. We may act as if we're the body, although theoretically we understand that we're Krishna's servants. But actually gratifying the senses is an activity demanded by the body. We can do it in Krishna consciousness up to some degree, but it should be done in Krishna consciousness. What's prominent is Krishna. What's secondary is the maintenance of the body. Not that what's prominent is the maintenance of the body. And if Krishna can help, so much the better. If my mother can help, if my father can help, my friends can help, and if Krishna can help, that's very good. But actually, the aim is to become Krishna conscious. And Vishehetadira, one who's sober, he'll try to gratify his senses as much as necessary. So that may be different for different people. But the aim is service to Krishna with the body. And that service to Krishna, of course, is to see people not as potential victims for my sense gratification. Of course, the word victim may raise that, as that lady saw the children with the fangs and with the nails, and the wife with the fangs and nails, and the poor householder, "We love you." Got you. So that's generally what we consider as terms of victim. But victim can be, people want to be victims. They want to be embraced. They want to be talked, as it says in the Bhagavatam, the wife talks affectionately to her husband in a secluded place, "I love you." Yes, oh dear, you love me. I'll do anything for you. Okay, here's the shopping list. So the lady and the man, they have their ways of controlling others. It's not necessarily, you know, the lady hold a knife to the man's throat, go shopping, all right? No, there's much more subtle ways of doing things, which are people take pleasure, yes. Probably to the legitimate pickpocket, the wife, the children, they come, and they pick the man comes home after work, and they pick his pocket. And they think, oh, how much they love me. But if a man on the street, you're walking down the street, and the man takes out a gun and says, you know, I want to pick your pocket, then you become very disturbed, and if you can, you get help from outsiders, such as the police, because it doesn't seem to be an act of love. Therefore, the material world means that those who are most expert at picking one's pocket will do it in a way that we actually take enjoyment having our pocket picked. We think we're going to be happy in this way. But actually, that's not the idea. Well, that's called victim. Everyone wants either to be a victim in a way that they want, that they're going to enjoy, or they want to find victims, and their victims, they take pleasure in being a victim, or they find victims, and the victims are very unhappy, such as animal slaughter. The cow is not happily giving its flesh. It's a victim. Of course, not a victim in the sense that there's no karma. Everyone is a victim or the perpetrator according to one's karma. But actually, we're not supposed to be victims, and we're not supposed to make others victims. We're still supposed to engage in devotional service to Krishna. So family life means, as I said in the last class, that the wife looks at the husband as Krishna's servant. The husband looks at the wife as Krishna's servant. They look at the children as Krishna's servants. Even the animals, even the insects in the house, they look at as Krishna's servants. And they think, what can I do to help them become Krishna conscious? That means that they eat prasad. They do meditation, but they do meditation on the deities. They don't meditate on the television. They meditate on the deities. They hear, but they hear from the scriptures rather than prajalpa. They go out to dance, but they dance at the temple. So they're acting as Krishna's servant, not as the body. Therefore, they're not grihamedis, they're grihastas, and by such family life, they'll make spiritual progress. And by remembering Krishna, by seeing others in relation to Krishna, then all lusty desires will go away. If the wife or the husband are not objects of my sense gratification, then who will be? If I'm actually seeing them as Krishna's servant, then I'll be able to see everyone else as Krishna's servant. The real challenge is in household life. If I act as Krishna's servant to my wife or my husband or my children or my relatives or my friends, then automatically I'll be able to understand how everyone else is also Krishna's servant. Then my activities become devotional. Then we'll become inspired to bring others into Krishna's family, not with the idea of exploiting them, but with the idea of serving them, because their service to Krishna will increase everyone's spiritual happiness. Not only Krishna's spiritual happiness, but everyone's spiritual happiness. If my wife is happy in Krishna consciousness, if my children are happy in Krishna consciousness, if I'm happy in Krishna consciousness, then the atmosphere will actually develop to be real love, real concern. And if everyone is simply an object of a potential victim for my sense gratification, either now or in the future, we may call it love, we may call it so many things, but ultimately it comes down to the same thing. Punak punas charvata charvananam. Simply chewing the chewed over and over again. I love you today, I chew you up and then I spit you out, and find someone else to love and chew up and spit out too, which will not be very nice. Rather than seeing the development of serving the lotus feet of the spiritual master and Krishna and that way be able to be equipped to serve others and actually bring everyone, or as many people as possible, but especially those who are listening to me, into the realm of spiritual bliss by becoming Krishna conscious. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Well, my question is about, some people have this natural principle that they think eating whatever it is in this world is no problem, because they think that they don't believe so much, something superior.
I couldn't convince him. This guy convinced that this is not the right way to eat meat, you know. And I don't have other choice, so I was thinking, what is the easy way to say to people like that?
Easy way to say? Yeah. The best thing to say is goodbye. Why waste your time? It's very hard to convince God of your opinion. And if you try and do it, if you think you're God, you're going to force your ideas on this person, then it's two false egos colliding with each other. The result is simply there's conflict. That's typical for the age of Kali. So better to find someone who will listen. And if no one is listening, at least you can preach to yourself. Anything else? All right, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.